seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the 36th verse. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8, and verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8, and verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The dear Redeemer spoke in the verse 32 that beautiful word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth being the dear Lord Jesus himself. And if we are brought, and those Jews that were brought to believe on him were to know the truth, that blessed truth was to make them free. I just want to tarry a moment there before we look at the text further, because how vital it is to know a precious Jesus. And as we come to the closing Lord's Day of another year, what dealings have we with the precious Son of God? Can we look back through the year and truly say there have been those times where he has been made precious to us, and we've known the sacred truth that has dropped from his lips? Because let us ever remember what he spake was truth from beginning to end. And he says here, and ye shall know, and this applies to every one of God's dear children, ye shall know, there's no doubt about it, the truth. And the truth shall make you free. But have we that vital saving knowledge of the truth? May it exercise each of our hearts, that we might know more and more of a precious Jesus, because the more we know him, the more we shall know sweet communion with him, fellowship with him. And the truth, of course, means God's precious word. It's a wonderful thing when you can read maybe just a verse or through the chapter, and you can truly say, well, I hope, if not awfully deceived, I know that blessed truth and know it by experience of what the Lord has said. We walked it out, you see. Makes all the difference when we have walked out those precious truths. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It speaks of the same liberty that is set forth in our text, doesn't it? And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's in bondage, you see. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, may the Lord help us to look a little further into this text. First of all, what are the things that bring us into bondage that we need to be freed from? Well, first of all, Satan. To the real child of God, he's a real foe. He so often brings us into bondage, doesn't he? And Satan will do all he can to bind the child of God. And to bring them into bondage. The way through the Word of God, we find Satan at work, trying to bring the child of God into bondage and confusion. And you look in this solemn day, those that try and stand for the truth, in these dark days, Satan is doing all that he can to shut them up and to put them in prison and to cause them to walk in bondage. But our text speaks of liberty, freedom. If the Son therefore shall make you free, now he can free you from the grip of Satan, poor soul. Oh, you look how the Lord wonderfully freed Peter from the grip of Satan. You think how Satan desired to have dear Peter. And he'll do all he can and desires to have every true born child of God. But you look how the Lord Jesus freed Peter from that grip of Satan. You see, it was Satan working in Peter that caused Peter to deny his Lord and Master. Satan was active. He was trying to destroy Peter's hope. He was trying to destroy the work of grace in Peter. And he was bringing dear Peter right into bondage, wasn't he? But oh, think of what the Lord Jesus said to him. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And oh, you look how the Lord was pleased to free Peter from the grip of Satan. When he denied the Lord that third time, the cock crew, the Lord looked at Peter. You know, one look from the Son of God into a poor sinner's heart can free them from all the grip of Satan. He looked at Peter, and Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. And they weren't just outward tears, you know. There's no doubt that was in it. But there were tears of sorrow in the heart of Peter that he'd so denied his blessed Master that he loved so. But that look, you know, was not only of conviction, it was a look of love. And the Lord loved Peter. Oh, he did, with an everlasting love. And not only was there that look of love, there was a look of pardon. We name this morning some blessed words that are recorded in Holy Writ of pardon to sinners that set them free from all their sin. But oh, you think just one look from the Saviour. The hymn writer said, didn't he, will make thee whole, will free thee from all the grip of Satan and all the grip of sin. We noticed this morning how we need freeing from sin and the consequences of sin and the bondage of sin. But oh, you think of dear Peter. Oh, that dear man, he saw that blessed look of the Saviour, though it was searching. Yet in it was love, eternal love, and in it was pardon and peace. And you look how Peter preached afterwards on the day of Pentecost in Cornelius's house and the liberty he could preach with. Why? Because the Lord had set him free. Satan couldn't have his way. And then, of course, there's another precious character in the Old Testament that we find Satan desired to have Job. And oh, he did. And he did all in his power to destroy dear Job. Not only in his livelihood, not only in his family, not only in his body. And the Lord permitted Satan to go to great lengths. But you know, the Lord proved to Satan that Satan could only go so far. He was chained. And the Lord proved to Satan that he was more powerful than what Satan is. Oh, you think, poor soul, today Satan has great power. The old preachers in my boyhood days used to say he's working overtime. Well, you look today, what they'd say today, I should think he's working double, if not treble time. But the Lord God is almighty. And Job was to prove it. And not only did the Lord deliver Job and set him free from the grip of Satan, both in his livelihood, in his family, and in his body, and in his soul. The Lord freed dear Job. You know, the last days of Job were better than the first. Oh, they were. Because the Lord had freed him. He let him go. And the Lord may be permitting Satan in your poor heart to attack this, attack that. And he knows your weak point, poor soul. He knew the weak point with Peter. You know, Peter was a very strong man. But he had the weak point. And so have you and so have I. And so did Job. And the Lord knew just how to deliver Job and just how to deliver Peter from all the grip of Satan. What does our text say? If the Son shall make you free. The Lord was to make dear Job free. No man could. You know, his best friends, Job's friends, they tried to comfort him. They tried to help him. But they were vain comforters, weren't they? Vain helpers. The only helper Job had was his God. Not even his wife helped him, did she? But the Lord, you know, was to set him free from all this, what he had to walk through. What does he say? That beautiful word, and so many have been delivered under it and set free. But he knoweth, the Lord knoweth, the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And when he said that, you know, Job had wonderful faith given to believe the Lord would set him free. He'd come forth as gold. The hymn writer said, gold in the furnace tried, ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. And it may be there's one here, Satan this year has tempted you in this and tempted you in that. Well, poor soul, may the close of the year be the time when the Lord delivers you from all his power, the power of Satan, sets you free. And when he says, get thee behind me, Satan, Satan can do no other but get behind the Lord of life and glory. He'll cast him out. But then you look how Satan tried to destroy dear Peter in the prison, didn't he? Satan got into Herod. And Peter was not put in prison through crimes like he'd stolen something or murdered somebody or done some terrible thing. He was in prison because he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the devil hates Christ being exalted. Would it be in our lives, in our ministry, in our walk, or whatever it be, our conversation? And you look how the Lord permitted Satan to go so far. And Peter was there, as we read in the lesson, in prison. But you look who was to set him free. It wasn't the other disciples. It wasn't any man. But let us just pause a minute. It was the Lord that was set him free. But you see, though he was there shut in prison, what was the Church of God doing? What were those doing that loved him for the truth's sake? They didn't say, well, it's the Lord's will, he's in prison, we'll let him lie there. No, they wrestled with the God of heaven, they did. They gave the Lord no rest. And may that be a lesson to us, each of us personally and collectively, when we see those bound, whatever may be bringing them into bondage, whether it be Satan, whether it be their sin, whether it be unbelief, whatever it be, it may be man. Let us ever pray for them. The Lord would set them free. Loose them. And you think of how they were there in that house praying for Peter's deliverance, pleading for his appearing, the Lord's appearing. And what does he say? If the Son therefore shall make you free, then are you free indeed. And that directs me to something else. You know, we need setting free in prayer. It's a wonderful thing that is when the Lord sets our hearts free and we can truly pray. And there in that house, you know, the Lord set them free so they could wrestle at the throne of grace. They could give the Lord no rest. It's like Jacob when he wrestled with the Lord Jesus, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Could you say with the hymn writer, it's easy to say it, but oh, to know it. Mine's an urgent pressing case. And you see, the case was pressing with Peter, wasn't it? This is why they were much in prayer. They wanted him free. If the Son shall make you free. And what did the Lord do? He dispatched an angel from heaven to go into that prison. to hear and answer the prayers that have been put up. But the Lord manifested his power, didn't he? And you look how wonderfully Peter slept. Chained to, between two soldiers. They tried and the devil tried and Herod tried and the governors of the prison tried to keep him as secure as they could. But no man could overcome the power of Peter's God. The Lord caused the soldiers to sleep. He caused Peter to sleep. And he sent his angel and awakes Peter. Arise, Peter. Gird thy loins and put on thy sandals and follow me. And oh, you look how the Lord set him free, didn't he? Oh, as we sung this morning, those words have been very precious to me since the text came. The Lord shall make you free. He shall make you free. And when you're free, poor soul, you're at liberty. And you look how the Lord set Peter free. And that's why we read the chapter this afternoon. The Lord can do it, you see. It's the same with Paul and Silas. You look how the Lord set them free. He sent an earthquake to free them. You know, when you look through the earth, it's wonderful. The Lord has set many of his dear children free by sometimes most strange means. And you look at it regarding Paul and Silas, how the Lord sent that earthquake. That didn't come by chance. You know. The angel didn't come into the prison to Peter by chance. He was to set him free. The Lord's a sovereign, you see, how he sets his people free. Not only when they're in prison like they were literally, but in their souls, you know what it is to feel shut up and bound because of your sin, because of the onslaughts of Satan, because of our unbelief. And what does the Lord do? He knows just what to send. It may be his servants with the text, just the text being announced, and your soul is at liberty. Because the Holy Spirit will apply the word with such power, it'll remove all the chains that bind you. And Satan binds our captive minds, say, fast in his slavish chains. He does, he binds us. He'll shut us up. That's what he wants the child of God to be. But the Lord has given this beautiful word. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, he makes you free, then are ye free indeed. The way to liberty is found, the Son shall make you free. This precious Son of God, and you look how many were freed. When the Saviour rose on that resurrection morn, the dear disciples, you know, and the dear women were in bondage because their dear Redeemer had been taken from them and laid in the tomb, and they felt everything was gone and they were bound. But you know, when that blessed news came that Christ was risen, their souls were set at liberty. They were free. You look at dear Mary, he only spoke one word to her and she was freed. Mary. And all the liberty. Just let us tarry a moment with the means the Lord may use, you see. Sometimes he doesn't say a word and no means are even used. It may be the Lord causes by his blessed Spirit the love of Christ to flow into a sinner's heart. And as it flows in, it removes all the darkness, all the sin, all the unbelief, all the bondage, and the sinners at large, they're free. Or it may be a kiss from heaven, a kiss of his everlasting love. Let him kiss me, the spouse said, with the kisses of his mouth. And those kisses, you know, conveyed his love to her. And it kissed all her sin away, all her bondage, and she was free. But then let us look at another occasion in the Word of God. We think of the children of Israel when they were in Babylonish captivity. You know, they'd been bound there for 70 years. It wasn't just a few days. 70 years. They were in bondage. You know, sometimes the Lord has been pleased to set his dear children individually free when they've been in this wilderness journey for 70 years. And he's come, and at the closing, the evening time of their life, he has set them free. We've witnessed it in several precious souls, you know. Some that, several that I've been favoured to baptise over the years, that have been well over 70. Some in their 80s. And the Lord has come at the evening time and he's set them free. So they can tell the king's household what a dear saviour they have found. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But go back to the Babylonish captivity. There they've been all those years. But the Lord was to set them free. And you see, they'd been kept in that bondage all those years to learn many lessons. And though we don't like bondage and we long for liberty, we must know both sides of this. It's of vital importance, really, you know. Because how can we know sweet liberty if we don't know anything about bondage? How could Peter speak about being set out free from the prison? Or dear Paul and Silas, if they hadn't experienced the bondage? And I believe the more we know of the bondage, the more blessed the deliverance will be. Oh, it will. Because it's such a change, isn't it? It's like when a dark day where we see not the sun at all and then suddenly the sun shines forth and all the brightness of it and the beauty of it and the wonders of it. And when the sun of righteousness shines into the sinner's heart, it removes all those clouds of bondage and distress, doesn't it? And when they were to be brought out of Babylon, you know, the bondage they'd been in, they could sing, couldn't they? A new song of praise unto the Lamb. We read, and I've often quoted it, that beautiful word in the prophecy of Hosea, when the Lord left it on record, hasn't it? And it's the song of somebody set free. And what does he say? I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and then this is it, and she shall sing as in the days of her youth. Do you know what it is when the Lord sets you free and you can sing? You may have sung many times in the bondage, but not with the sweet liberty when you're free. You may sing with the natural lips, and it's right we should sing. There have been a number of the Lord's dear people that felt, well, we can't sing this because we're in such darkness and in such bondage. But do you sing it as in a prayer that's your longing to be free? I often think of that, you know. Your late beloved pastor used to often mention it. That verse of the hymn in number 9. He justly claims a song from thee, his loving kindness. Oh, how free. He claims it, you see, from his dear people. But when is it they can really sing it? When the Lord sets them free. So he says here, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Look at the certainty. And you think of when he brought out those children of Israel out of bondage. He set them free. They were free. And they could sing. Well, when is it then the servants of God can truly preach with liberty? It's when the Lord makes them free. Oh, what a difference it is, and I can speak it a little from experience, when the Lord sets me free. But let us be very clear as we say that. The word of God is not bound. The bondage may be with the servant of God. The bondage may be in the pew. One of the old ministers said in my early days, he said, you know, sometimes just one person in a congregation can put the minister in bondage, he can put the whole church in bondage. That's very solemn, you know, very searching. But what a difference when the Lord sets his servants free. They're at liberty then, aren't they? They can declare the whole gospel of Christ. But when I say the word of God is not bound, though the servant of God may be in bondage, the word's not bound. And there have been so many testimonies. I remember Mr. Ramsbottom saying to me only recently, he said, you know, sometimes when I felt in such bondage, I felt, however can the Lord use the word? He said, but, you know, so often when we've had those come to join the church, they've spoken of those particular services. The word isn't bound. The Lord used it. The bondage is with the servant of God. We are creatures of bondage, we are. Oh, I thought earlier of that beautiful word that Paul spoke to the Galatians, and if ever a man knew what it was to be in bondage, in put in prison and shut up, and the devil trying to destroy the dear man, the Apostle Paul did. And what does he speak to the Galatian church? He says to them this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand in that liberty. Don't do anything to mar the liberty. And may the Lord favour us to stand in that liberty, not to mar it in any way, or to mar it with any others. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And then he says this, the word of warning, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How we need the Lord, if he gives us that sweet liberty, to keep us in that liberty, that we may not do anything to grieve the Lord and cause us to come back into bondage. But there's another point I just want to name. And it's been with me so much since this text came. Well, really, there are two points. The first is this. Oh, may this coming year be a year when many may be set at liberty. And then when you're at liberty, you feel free to speak, don't you? And you can speak of what the Lord has done. You can speak of how he's answered your prayers. You can speak about his sweet presence being with you. You can speak of those tokens for good, because you're free. It's a wonderful thing to feel free with a person, you know. I thank the Lord for this past year that those that have been taken, which I want to come to in a moment, when we've been to visit them, they seem so free to tell us what the Lord has done and what he has done for their souls. And oh, may we know what it is to see many brought to this sacred point where they're at liberty and they say, well, we want to speak well of him. And if you speak well of him, poor soul, you'll want to walk with him and you'll want to love him and adore him more and have sweet fellowship and communion with him. Because it's in Christ is this glorious liberty. You see, he's born to set his people free. It seems so sweet to me in the night season. Born to set his people free. Thinking about the glorious birth of the last few days, we've celebrated the birthday of our King. You see, thinking of that, he's born to set his people free. And how many were set free at his birth? Simeon, that we looked at, and Anna and others, you know, they were set free. But the second thing was this, which has been much with me. I was thinking about the great losses we've had as a church and congregation in this past year. And I'm thinking about this text, you know. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And may this be a sweet comfort to those that have lost their loved ones. They're free now. Free from this valley of tears. Free from all sin. Free from all darkness. What do we read? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a wonderful word that is. He didn't say any man shall or the angels will. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They're freed, you see, from this veil of tears. And all the sorrows of this earth, free from all their sufferings, free from all their pain, and at sweet liberty. You know, the liberty that is known by the child of God here is only but a taste of what it is to come. Just a taste. The hymn writer said, in its beautiful words, if such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee? Well, I've scratched around the surface of this text today. My great desire and concern is the Lord might sweetly fulfil it in each of our souls, and that we might know more and more of the liberty which a precious Christ brought when he came into this earth to set his people free. And because he sets his people free, they're free to praise him while they're here. Oh yes, you know, those that will enter into eternal praise will be those that have praised him here. And the Lord has given them that sweet liberty to praise him. And this praise will go out of your soul, and it'll be sweet praise to God on high. Like the angels when they said, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And they sounded forth the birthday of their King. And oh, that we might sound it forth while we're here. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.